The following is a recording of the MinWiz Fusion Technical Net that was recorded on Monday, November 18th, 2022. The net is held 7:30 p.m. Central Time in the MinWiz Room 21493 or YSF 21493. You can also access information about the net, including these podcasts, and further information at hamoperator.com. Hamoperator.com. This is a technical net. We don't take check-ins, but we do take questions, comments, suggestions, and discussions regarding items of a technical nature, most notably connected with Fusion. Hope you enjoy the podcast.
Okay, Whiskey 4 India Oscar Delta, K04K. Not getting through. Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but redundancy apparently is your middle name this evening, Chuck. But we've got you now. Go ahead. W4IOD clear.
All right, Otis. Thank you. And I guess, you know, living life on the short line with HD radio from the basement just isn't cutting it, so I'm going to have to unpack some antennas, I guess. With that, let me see if I can, well, this is the Bakken Amateur Radio Society, Fusion Radio Net. Thanks for listening. I'm sorry for all the trouble. And, well, tonight's net control stations are K04K. AD0MI Pete, K90Q Chris, Whiskey 4 India Oscar Delta Otis, as you already heard, and November 0 Papa X-Ray Tango. Bakken Amateur Radio Society takes its name from Earl Bakken. And I'm going to go on to, remember, there's a chat window at hamoperator.com, select MinWiz, and then MinWiz chat. And see if anybody has an announcement for the net, please check in now. All right, hearing nothing, we'll move into the check-in portion of the net. If you have a comment or a question for the net, please check in now. Give us your name, city, and state.
W9FCC, Whiskey 9 Foxtrot, Charlie, Dan, and Hoka, Minnesota.
All right, W9 Fox Charlie, Dan from Anoka, Minnesota. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Okay, good evening. Just a quick heads up, I got an email from Shark RF, and they have a sale now on their OpenSpot 4 hotspot. Just passing it on. It's a fairly expensive unit. I have the OpenSpot 4 Pro. I love it. And that's all I have. Thank you. To be an FCC.
All right, Dan. Thanks for the information on the OpenSpot, the Shark. It's always good. We do talk about that on time. To time here, so thank you very much. Anybody else with a comment or question for the net?
Whiskey Echo, 8 kilo.
Whiskey Echo 8 Kilo. Mark, go ahead. What do you got for us?
Yes, I'm a new user to Yaesu. I purchased a few Fusion-capable radios. The radio I'm on, which is an FT991 Alpha, but also an FT5D handheld. I recently purchased an OpenSpot 4 Pro. which was on sale. And I haven't really set it up. I've been reading through the manuals, and I've trying to piece together how all this works. I'm pretty familiar with computer networks. I'm retired now, but I did that back in the past. And I'm kind of piecing together the various parts of this. And it seems that Yaesu runs part of the naming service that connects the serial numbers or UIDs or whatever they want to call them on the radios to call signs and email addresses and such. And the open spots appear to connect into a network, but there seems to be several ways to do it. And then there's the HRI 200s, which I've been reading the manuals and watching YouTube videos for. But I'm not clear as to where the reflector networks and stuff come in, because it seems to be yet another intermediary. Is that required to use that or not?
All right, with that, I'm going to send it over to K9EQ. Chris, can you handle that? K0, 4K.
Okay. And some odd things happening here. We're, as an experiment, we're live streaming the net. And, of course, something weird is happening that didn't happen in all the tests. Anyway. Yes, sir. There is the WirusX network that Yaesu produces or manages, and that you access using Yaesu equipment. And so that's the primary network for Fusion. If there's a repeater out there that's you know, on the network, it's probably using WirusX. The hotspots cannot communicate with WirusX. And so there are a number of different networks depending upon the digital mode that you use for Fusion. You've got FCS, you've got YSF, which is what MinWiz uses, and a couple of others that are probably less popular. So those reflectors are isolated from WirusX unless someone goes to the trouble of bridging the connection. And in the case of some of the networks like MinWiz, we do the bridging so that YSF 21493 is the same as WirusX 21493. Both the WirusX and the YSF servers can be anywhere. It's kind of a distributed system. In our particular case, the MinWiz WirusX server is in California, and the MinWiz YSF server is in New York. You probably can't get them much farther. Well, you could get them farther apart, but that's where they are. So anyway, if you have a hotspot and you want to listen to what's going on MinWiz, you have to connect to YSF 21493, which is not the same as WirusX 21493. They're different servers, and they they accomplish the bridging to take care of that, so you can enter either one and you get the same stuff. Back over to you, Chuck, K9EQ.
All right, Chris, thank you very much for putting that all those pieces together. And Mark, Whiskey Echo 8 Kilo, did that help you out at all?
It does. I can't use an HRI 200 here due to my internet connection, which doesn't support port forwarding. I'm using Elon Musk's Starlink. And before that, I had no internet service, so I'm not really complaining about it. But one of the limitations of that service, in addition to being very erratic latency times and bandwidth, is that they don't support any port forwarding because they use carrier-grade NAT. So I do not have a dedicated IP version 4 public address. I share a single address with other customers, so they can't do that mapping. In the future, that may not be the case here. I'm supposed to get actual internet service, but until then, that isn't even an option. But I was thinking if I did get an HRI 200, then I would be within the Yaesu network entirely, correct?
PK5Z1.
So, because I'm out of my league and of my knowledge base. Chris, go ahead, K0 4K.
Okay, well, should have started off with the Starlink thing. There are limited numbers of IPv4 addresses, and Starlink is late to the game with getting their ISP up and running. And so they have a limited number of IPv4 addresses. Pretty much they don't support IPv4. They're great with IPv6, and it'd be nice if we all would switch to IPv6, but there are problems with that. The first is that the WireSX software does not support IPv6. So you'd have to have some IPv4 addresses to even have a hope at the thing working. Folks with Starlink, what they will typically do is they will use a VPN, and the VPN where it terminates will provide an IPv4 address. Now, as far as the YSF goes, the MinWiz YSF server supports IPv6. It's running IPv6, no problemo. In fact, almost anything that I do on there that sends out something on the net goes out IPv6. However, the hotspot list server, the addressing system, you know, you have to be able to translate a room number and that sort of thing to an IP address. That only does IPv4 at the moment. So you're kind of, I think, in trouble with Starlink unless you go and use a VPN. So I think that's a common way to do it, is to people to go ahead and use a VPN to get IPv4 access via Starlink. Wouldn't surprise me if the hotspots in WireSX isn't the only thing that causes problems with the Starlink stuff. So good luck with that. Better than nothing. Back to you, Chuck, K9EQ.
Thank you, Chris, and I'd also like to throw out that you can use the PDN mode through the FT5. There's instructions on how to do that at hamoperator.com, and the information that you need to download, so that might help you out. But if we had somebody with some more information on this, a comment, VK5 Zulu Echo Yankee, why don't you go ahead with your comment?
This is AK5JP stepping in for a moment. ZDY, Phil, he's most probably attending to phone calls, and that he'll most probably come back when he's free.
All right, Pete. Thanks for the heads up on that. Yeah, it is the part of the day where you guys have to start working on tomorrow. So thanks, Pete, and I will just kind of wait until I can hear again from Phil. K9EQ, you have something to add to this? Go ahead.
No, something else. But I wanted to let people know that we're doing an experiment tonight. And that experiment is live streaming the podcast. It hasn't gone perfectly because I'm having a problem that did not exist when I was doing all the testing. Basically, what I'm doing is I'm using an FT991 to receive the digital audio. It has a USB interface going off to a computer, which then provides the feed to the podcast server. Sadly, you'll notice breakup if you listen to the stream. The breakup is being caused by the 991. It's sitting there in DN mode, and it just suddenly drops out of DN mode for no reason that I can see. I don't know, maybe the dang thing needs to be rebooted or something. Anyway, when you hear those dropouts, it's because the it's never done this before. The 991 is sitting there listening to a nice, extraordinarily strong digital signal, and then it suddenly decides it's not a digital signal anymore and drops out of digital. Who knows? Anyway, if you want to give it a go go have a check out all their kerfuffle, you can go to hamoperator.com, and the stuff for this week on the main page, there's a link to where the live stream is located. You'll also notice if you go to that live stream that there's a number of nets that have been uploaded as podcasts, and that's what we plan to do going forward, to provide recordings of the nets via podcast. Fortunately, this episode is being recorded independently of the podcast system, because the audio from the podcast system would be pretty useless. Anyway, go to hamoperator.com and go down to the stuff for this week, and there's the link to go and try out the podcast stream. Back to you, Chuck, K9EQ.
K9EQ, W4IOD, stepping in for Chuck because he had to step away for a moment. And thank you, Chris, for the information and the job that you do as far as a ham operator. And before we take any more, see if there's any more additional comments or questions for the net this evening. This is W4IOD. VK5ZEY. Phil, are you back with us yet? Hearing nothing out of VK5ZEY, I'd say Phil is still busy there in Adelaide, so we'll move on. And I'm at the bottom of the list, so if you have a question or a comment, check in through net control. I need your name, your city, and your state or location. Please call net control now.
AA4 USA, Frank, Lexington, Kentucky.
Alrighty, we got picked up one that time, at least what I heard anyhow. Kilo Alpha 4, Uniform Sierra Alpha. Frank in Lexington, Kentucky. Good evening, Frank. Your question or comment for the net this evening. Go ahead, sir. The floor is yours.
No question, no comments this time. I've just been listening to y'all a couple minutes. A couple of people invited me down. I hadn't been on Fusion very long, a couple of days. Done a lot of D-Star stuff, but had the 991A and never did use it on 2 meter or on Fusion either. I used it for an HF for about a year, and then got another radio, and I got another radio I use on 2 meter and D-Star, and it kind of broke the other day, and so I dug the 991A back out, and I decided to get on Fusion, and I'm thinking, I've been on Fusion for a couple of years, on D-Star. I'm kind of thinking I'm going to go the Fusion route. I just like it better, and of course the 991A is a great radio for that. And so just kind of hanging out, trying to learn a few ropes on this, see if there's anything any different. But, basically the same thing as D-Star. I do a lot of HF, I do 2 meter, and I do D-Star. And like I said, I'm not as much D-Star as I used to. But that being said, and some CW, but I don't do any of the other digital modes at this point, and probably not interested in the, if it's not phone, I'm probably not interested other than CW. So anyway, that's the way it is here, but enjoy listening to you folks, and if I come up with any questions or suggestions, I'll speak up. Thank you for the invitation, and KA4 USA, Frank, in Lexington, Kentucky.
KA4 USA, W4IOD returning. Well, thank you, Frank. And we're here every Monday evening at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, 0130 UTC. And you've got quite a few connected, not only through the country, but around the world that join us here, and we try to help each other out in regards to anything going on with System Fusion, hotspots, or anything digital related on the YSF and System Fusion side. So it's not that we dislike D-Star, we just prefer Fusion here, and that's what this net's geared towards, System Fusion and C4FM. Excellent resource, if you're willing to learn, is hamoperator.com, all one word, hamoperator.com. There is a chat window available there as well, so it's one of those things where Chris, K9EQ, provides an excellent resource. And with that said, I'm going to turn it back to your proper net control. Good hearing you all this evening, Frank, and thanks for joining us. K0ORK, W4IOD. Back to you, Chuck.
Australia, VK5, Zulu Echo Yankee, go ahead if you have a comment on the last question.
This is VK5JP. I think Phil's going to be coming up for a while. He's organizing a lot of Wi-Fi internet for a forthcoming event. So I dare say he's most probably tied up coordinating the technicians at the moment. Back to net control.
Well, apparently Chuck is having some technical issues on his end, so we'll see if we can get him back on. And thank you, Pete, for the update on Phil. So I'm at the bottom of the list again. Questions or comments? We need your name, your city, or your state or location. Please call Net Control now. W4IOD standing by.
W4IOD, this is KE0YJJ, Rick in Pine Island, Minnesota, with a comment.
KE0YJJ, Rick in Pine Island, Minnesota. Well, good evening, Rick. Always good to hear you on. Your question or comment for the net this evening, go ahead, sir. You have the floor.
Well, thank you, Sir Otis. I appreciate it. For P90Q, I am on Ham Operator, and I'm clicking on that top link. And I've tried all my sound settings, and I'm not hearing nothing. So, is there a trick to doing that, or should I just be able to click on it? KE0YJJ.
Another web page will come up, and then on that web page, you should be able to click something and have the stuff work. Right now, what is going on here? I'm having problems with the 991 feeding audio to the computer. So I'm debugging that right now. People that are listening, you just heard a bunch of trumpets, so you know that you're getting audio.
KU0YJJ, roger, roger. Yeah, I've clicked on all that stuff. I get the second page, but I'm just not hearing nothing. Thank you.
Well, you have to go and click the play button on the podcast thing to get it going.
Roger, roger.
I'll make noises from time to time. Yeah, this is a new software here and whatever. And I don't know why it's not getting the audio. Anyway, back to that K9EQ.
All right, Chris, and thank you for your efforts. And we appreciate everyone's patience and while we're trying to establish the live stream. And thank you, Rick, for your feedback. And, Chris, I just got a message here of myself that it's not being picked up on the Podbean app either. So we appreciate your undertakings in trying to resolve the issues and that. So appreciate everyone's patience. While that is new, we don't have it established yet. And that's just it. When you're testing, everything goes right. And then when it actually comes right down to the live broadcast, it's Murphy's Law. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong when you're live on air with a net. So appreciate everyone's patience in resolving that issue, and I'm at the bottom of the list. Any questions or comments, name, city, state, or location, please call now.
Whiskey Echo, 8 Kilo, Mark, Wolverine, Michigan, with another question.
Whiskey Echo 8 Kilo, Mark in Waterford, Michigan. Well, good evening, Mark. Once again, I think Chuck was here to greet you the first time, and I'm here to greet you the second. Repeat questions, that's good. It helps us learn, and we try to share that with everybody here. So go ahead, Mark, with your question or comment. You have the floor.
Thank you. Hopefully this question will be very simple. Between the two radios that I have, the Wires X functionality seems to differ. On the FT991A, it connects readily, and I can connect to other rooms, but I don't see any of the display of like the news and pictures and other things that are available on the FT5D. So I just wondered, this radio, the 991, just doesn't support that? There's been a revision of Fusion or something, and this is an older version, or am I missing something? Because once it's in Wires X mode, most of the buttons on the radio don't do anything, so I've tried poking pretty much every button. Am I doing something wrong, or does this radio simply not support that? Over.
Okay, just for clarification, Mark, you're talking about the 991A and the FT5D. Now, which one are you saying that doesn't support that function? The FT5D or the 991A?
The 991A. I can connect. I press the Wires X button. It connects to the local machine here in Gaylord. And I can change the room that it is connected to. I've done that in the past, and then change it back. That's fine. But when I connect with the FT5D and do the same thing, there are other options available to read what are like text or email messages or pictures or voicemail. But that does not happen on the FT991A.
All right. And I appreciate you explaining that or clarifying that issue. What you're going to find on that, at least on my 991A, and I'm pretty sure we'll verify with Chris that I'm not telling you wrong, for you to be able to send text, pictures, or anything like that, it has to be one of the non-entry-level VHF, UHF mobiles or HTs, which means it has to be capable of accepting one of the micro SD cards. That is how that is accomplished. And it's one of those things where the FT991 has pretty much limited resources when it comes to that. You're not going to be able to send pictures or text from the Wires X menu or the group monitor mode either. And that's typically how that's pulled off. To retrieve the news function on that, I don't believe the 991A will allow you to do that either. It's from the command menu. But I'll send it over to Chris, since he seems to be wrestling with a 991 at the present time. and see if he can provide a more detailed answer for you, Mark. K9EQ, can you help Mark out on that one, or have I pretty much got him discombobulated as it is? Over to you, Chris.
Okay, it was a little mixed up in which radio he was talking about as well. Here's the way to remember it. If you can plug an SD card into the radio, then it will do the pictures and all the news functions, the messages and stuff like that. If you can't plug an SD card into the radio, then you can't do those functions. So the 991 is primarily an HF radio. It does have some support for, it has full support for Fusion and some limited support for WiresX. And support it has for WiresX doesn't include those functions that allow you to play with it. It just doesn't have the news function. Back to you, ODK9EQ.
Thank you, Chris. And we'll ask Mark if that clears things up or if it actually confuses you. Does that help, Mark?
Thank you. Yes, it does. I thought that was the case when I looked in the manual and they didn't show any screens like that, but I wanted to be sure. So I've been madly pushing buttons and pushing on the screen and doing whatever, trying to find that shows up on the HD, and it doesn't show up on this. But, yep, all right, that makes total sense. No local storage and no place to put that stuff. Thank you, Whiskey Echo 8 Kilo.
Whiskey Echo 8 Kilo, W4IOD. Well, thank you, Mark, and if you have any more questions, I'm going to touch on something here briefly, and you may have more questions after I do this, but you brought up the 991 and the 991A, and they're just different models, basically the same radio, a little more features encompassed in the 991A. For some of us, with 10 meters of the way it is, and I actually had the pleasure of doing this with K9EQ over on 10 meters, when you scroll through the touchscreen menu of the memory list, you actually see the GM button, which is group monitor, and where the C4FM transmission is 12.5 kilohertz wide, we go up on 29250, which is in the FM portion of 10 meters, and have actually been doing that. There's actually a Facebook group for that, where they coordinate and actually work group monitor on that. But basically what it does is it beacons your call sign. You set your radio up with your call sign and your GPS information, and rather than calling CQ about every 20 seconds, the radio automatically keys that data packet out with your call and your GPS location. And then if it hears something, it will actually display the call sign on the display. And if it's in blue, theoretically you are close enough to make voice contact. And that has happened for some of us, and it's just something that never gets old for me. But that's another feature that 991 will do that none of the VHF or UHF radios will do, but a lot of fun with that. So I figured I would share that with the group. 29250 is above 28500, and just a reminder for you folks with tech license, if you don't want any unsolicited mail, remember where you need to stop, but one more reason to upgrade. All right, well, I've rambled on enough about that. If we have questions about that, don't mind answering them, but we'll ask if anyone else has any questions or comments. Your name, city, and state, or location, please call Net Control now.
AE0YJJ. Got a comment or a question about WE8K's transmission.
K0YJJ, Rick in Pine Island, Minnesota. Go ahead, sir. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Odie. WE8K, I noticed that he's the only one I'm hearing it from, that when he transmits, I hear a pulsing noise. It's like pulse, 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 pulse in the background. And I can hear it very clearly. But I hear that pulsing sound as well. And I'm curious as to what that is. Is it something I'm not doing right? Or is he having a problem with his rig? Or just curious. KE0YJJ.
Well, I don't know, Rick. I didn't hear anything like that on Mark's transmission, but we'll ask if Mark's still on frequency, WEAK, W4IOD. Mark, are you still around?
Certainly. Now, he may have been hearing a little bit of a locally generated RFI. I have some powered speakers connected across the room, and on this band, when I turn the power up, it gets into that a little bit, so maybe he was hearing that. But that shouldn't have been that loud. Is it on the transmission now? I just powered those speakers off.
Can I go back to him direct, Odie? KE0YJ.
Thing that time either, so. Break with Whiskey Echo 8 Kilo, KE0YJJ. Rick, did you hear anything on Mark's transmission that time?
W4IOD KE0YJJ. Yes, I did. I heard that same pulsing from WEAK's transmission. It's very light, and it sounds digital, but it's a pulsing sound. I don't know what it is, but I'm definitely hearing it. And if you're not, that means I must have a problem here. So I appreciate that. That's all I got, Odie. Thank you.
Yeah, when I unkeyed Rick, I actually heard you asking for permission to go direct with Mark. If you need to go direct with Mark, go ahead.
No, I'm okay, Odie. I just probably got something going here on my end. So here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking the pulsing sound I'm hearing is something to do with my computer, I think. But I only hear it on his transmission, and it could be the reason why I can't get the webcast to, I can't hear anything from that either. And I did click the play button, so I got a problem. Don't worry about anything, I'll send it back to you. I'm done.
All right, Rick. Well, that's why we're here, to help each other out, and hopefully you get that issue resolved on your radio. Asking the other net controls, and we don't hear anything on the Mark signal either, but not saying that you don't, just hopefully you get that resolved. Thank you, Whiskey Echo 8 Kilo. Thank you, Mark, and thank you, Rick. Break with KE0YJJ. This is W4IOD, and I'll remind you, we meet here every Monday evening at 7:30 Central, 0130 UTC, and we tend to discuss all things fusion, and I am at the bottom of my list. So we'll ask one last time, if anyone on the frequency has a question or a comment, your name, your city, your state, or location, please call Net Control now.
KA4USA. Mark, I didn't hear anything. I really I put my headphones on and cranked the volume up, and everything was just clean as a bell. Must be something on the other end. I know it's strange to happen on one person's radio, but I do know that kind of stuff does happen. Anyway, back to Net Control, KA4USA, Frank in Lexington.
And VK5JP with a update for South Coast repeater.
All right, let me acknowledge the two stations I got. I got Kilo Alpha 4, Uniform Sierra Alpha. That's Frank in Lexington, Kentucky, and he didn't hear anything on Mark's signal. Appreciate the feedback on that, Frank. And looks like VK5JP, Pete in Adelaide, Australia. Well, good morning, Pete. and the follow-up on the repeater. Take it away. It's Tuesday morning already there, so help us catch up. Go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. It's actually afternoon here, would you believe, and it's with you guys coming up a daylight saving, and that you now we broadcast you guys from midday onwards. So it is now just coming up to 12:45, 100 hours. Anyway, just getting you guys in the loop on that. We've made some progress with our faults and problems up at the South Coast repeater site. I think I have mentioned in the past that this site is very unique because it actually uses the cellular network to receive its Wi-Fi linking. And anyway, we ran into problems with a loss of audio, and we resolved that issue. That turned out to be a faulty data cable. But since then, that another problem has occurred, and we noticed that when the repeater goes into transmit, we lose data, and we're finding that data is somehow that being lost via either a received signal via the internet, or after the repeater starts to transmit via an RS signal. Now, the interesting thing is the modem that's up there will swing from the 4G to the 5G network, and we've now been watching the data flow, and we see that when the transmitter does activate, the data suddenly drops off. So this is where we're at the moment, trying to figure out where the data bits are disappearing to. We have another problem whereby which when it does receive an RS signal, and depending on conditions, it will hold up. So we've got a little bit of an issue to resolve now, and that's in regards to chasing where the data's going. But the repeater itself and everything else, Wise X, both the Windows 7 and Windows 10 operating as should be. We've now just got this issue of some data going missing. Back to net control.
VK5JP, W4IOD returning. And with that issue, I'm not going to be much of assistance to you, Pete. I do good to keep mine running here on a conventional Wi-Fi network, but I know Chris would probably recommend locking it to one network, preferably 4G, but I'll send it over to him. He seems to be a little bit busy this evening trying to troubleshoot what's going on with the live stream audio over on the podcast, but I'm sure he has time for you. K9EQ, W4IOD, any comments on Pete's issue there in Adelaide in the repeater?
Yeah, this what I'm experiencing is like, I don't know. There's, so all this bit of trying to feed the audio to a live stream, all the servers and all that stuff going on and the computers and everything, it's the 991 that's screwing up. It's sitting there in DN mode, and then all of a sudden it'll decide that's no longer a digital signal, and the DN light goes off and it's gone. And so if you're listening to live stream, you'll hear the audio there, and there's a little click and the audio is gone. That's everything's working with the streaming that I can tell. It's just that the 991 decides it's no longer time to receive DN mode. And I tried just about everything I could on the 991, rebooted it. There's only so much you can do when you're live. I've never seen it do this before. Good timing, 991. Anyway, there are other ways of getting the audio out to the podcast than having to use the 991. It's just convenient because it has a nice USB interface in it. And so I just thought, yeah, just use a USB interface and off we go. But I can also do it via analog if I want to. Anyway, Pete, I would suggest locking your cellular to one of the networks, and preferably I'd lock it to 4G. The reason for the 4G is that a 4G has better range. It doesn't require as strong a signals as 5G. It still has plenty fast data. I mean, I've got a 5G phone here, and it's never gone to 5G. it just never does it. Anyway, I would lock it to 4G and see if that, because you know what will happen is if you get a flaky 5G signal, it's most likely going to preferentially try to switch to 5G, and then it can't quite hold it because it's getting too high an error rate, and it eventually has to fall back to 4G. So something like that might be happening. Back to you, ODK9EQ.
All right, Chris, and thanks for your assistance in that, and VK5JP, Pete, anything else for the net, your afternoon? I've got to remember all the old standard time from the daylight savings time. It did make a difference, so good afternoon to you over there. Anything else?
Chris, so I'll catch up with you afterwards. That's what we had worked out. Fortunately, myself and Phil and one other have got the ability to monitor the stream, and that's what gave us a bit of a clue as to what was going on. And we worked back and discovered that when these problems started to occur, Vodafone had updated their tower. It suddenly went from having just only 4G to the 5G network as well. So we worked back to that, but that's when our problems started to occur, since when that tower activated the 5G network. When we get a chance to peg Phil down, we'll nail the modem to 4G only and see if that resolves it. But we noticed that when it goes to 4G, it operates quite well. And as you made the comment, when it goes to 5G, it seems to go hunting. And that's why we suddenly lose all the data. So that's the plan at the moment. But, Phil's a very busy guy. I don't know if you guys are aware, Adelaide is hosting V8 supercar races again, and that's here, and I believe it comes on air next Thursday, and that they'll start screening the V8 supercars. It's actually a race through the city of Adelaide, so they do broadcast it worldwide. You'll be able to see some of the shops of Adelaide. Okay, back to net control.
VK5JP, W4IOD returning. Well, fine business, Pete. Thanks for bringing us up to speed on where you're at and troubleshooting that. We all have our gremlins from time to time, even myself, here with the YSF reflector and the bridge. Everybody needs it at least on a repeater and a bridge at least once to give you a whole new perspective. All the best to Phil over there, and we understand that. We've actually got a friend up around Charter's Tower that's actually prepping for that as well, and actually a friend that is due to fly out of Sydney, I think, tomorrow morning in regards to flying home, the first time visit there in Australia, but he's had a great time from what I've seen on Facebook. Appreciate you checking into the net, and we'll break with VK5JP. Cheers, Pete. And I'm at the bottom of the list. We'll make this last call if you'd like to check in with a question or comment for this evening's edition. I need your name, your city, and your state or location. Please call Net Control now. W4IOD is standing by. All righty, not hearing anything else. We'll thank you for listening and your participation and support and patience in the live streaming event that Chris is working on. Remember hamoperator.com for all your informational resources. And we'd like to thank you for listening to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society System Fusion Radio Net. Please allow a couple minutes for stations that would like to disconnect to enable them to do so. And we'll see you hopefully next Monday evening, the 28th of November. Good evening in 73, W4IOD, clear.